let's talk a little more about some of the other advantages to bedside teaching, and now kind of get to the point of why go to the bedside. The big study done on the value of bedside teaching, Gonzalo 2013, identified six main themes for the advantages of bedside teaching. Skill development for learners, observation and feedback, role modeling, team building among trainees, attendings, and patients, improved patient care delivery through combined clinical decision-making and team consensus, and the culture of medicine as patient-centered care. Do any of those particularly resonate with you?
You know, several of them do, honestly. I mean, the modeling is so key. I mean, we discuss our learners as being, you know, all of us are a combination of skills, knowledge, and attitudes. And certainly the experiential part of how do you treat someone? How do you navigate a difficult conversation? How do you go through an uncomfortable topic? How do I give someone bad news? How do I really deal with an angry family member? The discussion about a near miss or a medical error. How do I discuss someone who's very anxious about what's going on with their family member? Or how do I just have an honest discussion with someone about, hey, this is where you are, and these are the changes that I think you need to make to your health to have success longitudinally? The feedback that I get from learners over the years is some of them are sort of surprised about some of the things that we discuss at the bedside. And frankly, I think shying away from this topics from sensitive topics doesn't really help us or the patient get to where they need to get to in order to have the most success that they can as defined by their condition. But just being frank, saying, hey, listen, I see here in your history that, you know, you have a history of injection drug abuse, that you have a history of addiction to this, or you have some pain-seeking behaviors. That concerns me. How are we going to navigate that amongst ourselves? It's tough to bring that up. And, you know, people sometimes react or you know, will say things, but honestly, I sit there, I look him in the eye, and I try to have a frank conversation. When I leave the room, we can have frank discussions with the team about, hey, how does the patient's history affect my thinking? How does it bias my decision-making? Being aware of those things, being aware of sort of why we think what we think, that level of metacognition, I think we do better work when we're honest with the patient and with ourselves about all of these elements. So the role modeling to me is very important. I think it leads to better care because we can have more frank conversations. And I think people seeing you have those conversations prepares them, because you can do the best technical work in the world, but if you fail at how you treat people, you're not going to get great outcomes. Patient satisfaction is a real outcome. I think we're in a service profession, and knowing how to treat others with respect and really be patient-centered and patient-focused, I think makes the care that we provide to be better. I often give an example of a very ill family member of mine who ultimately expired. And I went to a hospital and I spoke with a neurosurgeon, and it was almost what I remember from those difficult interactions. My family member would go on to expire in about 30 days. But the things that I remember about that hospital stay were a nurse coming to take my uncle's coat and hanging it, someone coming in with a cup of coffee for my elderly uncle, the hand on the shoulder when difficult news was delivered. None of these things are quantifiable or show up on our evaluations. But you see, the skill of the clinicians was expected. They're working in a, you know, quality hospital. The skill is expected. The humanity has so much to do with the care. And when learners can watch you do that, when I tell a learner, if someone's sick enough to be in that bed, it's not just them, but their whole family. There's an impact creator around an illness. And we all need to contribute to the different facets. There's a lot of things that we can do to provide care. And when we don't have a cure, we can still provide care. And modeling that and being patient-centered and family-centered, I think it's a great gift that we give to our learners that ultimately they can pass on to us and our family when it's our turn to be on those hospital beds. So all those things resonate to a large degree with me.
And that's exactly what lines up with what I've read in the literature. Common theme, especially going back to some of the literature that was PhD written literature on education in a clinical setting, and as recent as 2009 from an attending opinion survey, professionalism, 72% from Gonzalo 2009 ranked very important or somewhat important for learning. And the physician-patient communication skills, 83%. Again, these aren't things, like you said, that are quantifiable. And I guess you could get into a discussion on how to quantify these things. But it is the subtlety and the nature and the disposition that is demonstrated by the physician and observed by the student. And only at the bedside is the implication in the literature.
I think that's very interesting. And I know that in future talks here, we're going to get into the structure of bedside rounds and what can be done about it. So let me take us to the end here. If I were to ask you, you know, make the case based on the evidence, why should bedside rounds occur?
Well, I think some of the biggest evidence comes from something that we've touched on a little bit, haven't exactly hammered down yet, is physical exam and clinical skills. And you have a number of studies from 1994 that tried to do a year-long teaching lecture series for residents and interns. Not only did not improve their own physical exam skills, but before and after were controlled by fourth-year medical students, showed no difference. Then you have another study in 2004 that did another intervention directly at the bedside teaching physical exam skills, had a 66% increase in correct diagnosis.
Huh.
So that's a pretty strong evidence compared to a year-long lecture series, no increase compared to fourth-year medical students among house staff. And then you have a study in 2004 where 10 physicians completed 45-minute sessions directly at the bedside and had an increase in 66%. So I think that's some strong evidence. I think going to the bedside, it was one of our components listed as a definition, performing a bedside physical exam maneuver. I think another thing is time. And I think a lot of physicians are time constrained, have time limitations. And a number of people have tried to actually standardize the bedside round and say, we are going to monitor and assess adherence, and you're going to do these X components. And we could go through what all those components are and what factored into them. But for the majority of studies, bedside rounding standardized compared to a control, so either a walk round or however else you're going to do it, was either the same or decreased time. So some studies showed decreased time. Funnily enough, one study actually showed a decrease in time, but it was perceived as taking longer by students. So that's, I guess, somewhat of a catch, but you can decrease time. You can ensure that you are performing physical exam skills in front of a student. Another big part that we will get into later is you can give direct feedback to students, which is a component that is also key, I think, and was listed as one of the main advantages of bedside rounds. And then, as we talked about, the main advantage is the modeling of professionalism, patient-physician interaction, team building among your team, and those intangibles that can only be experienced by a young medical student at the bedside.
Well, Haddon, you've convinced me. I think that those are all very compelling reasons to pursue bedside rounds. And we want to thank everybody for spending some time with us today. And hopefully you can bring some of these strategies and some of this evidence to bear in your teaching at the bedside. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you.